ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
I'm going to read a section from the Bhagavad Gita. In chapter 4, starting with text number 23. And Lord Krishna says, the work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. Text 24. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. Some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them, and some of them offer sacrifices in the fire of the Supreme Brahman. Some, the unadulterated brahmacharis, sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control. And others, the regulated householders, sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. I'm going to read the purport to number 26. The members of the four divisions of human life, namely the brahmachari, the grihastha, the vanaprastha, and the sannyasi, are all meant to become perfect yogis or transcendentalists. Since human life is not meant for our enjoying sense gratification like the animals, the four orders of human life are so arranged that one may become perfect in spiritual life. The brahmacharis are students under the care of a bona fide spiritual master, control the mind by abstaining from sense gratification. A brahmachari hears only words concerning Krishna consciousness. Hearing is the basic principle for understanding, and therefore the pure brahmachari engages fully in Harir Nama Anukirtanam, chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. He restrains himself from the vibrations of material sounds, and his hearing is engaged in the transcendental sound vibration of Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Similarly, the householders who have some license for sense gratification perform acts with great restraint. Sex life, intoxication, and meat eating are general tendencies of human society. But a regulated household does not indulge in unrestricted sex life and other sense gratification. Marriage on the principles of religious life is therefore current in all civilized human society, because that is the way for restricted sex life. This restricted, unattached sex life is also a kind of yajna, because the restricted householder sacrifices his general tendency towards sense gratification for a higher transcendental life. How is the temperature in here? Go ahead, Hari Vamsha. What is it? How is it? High or low or just right? It's freezing in here. Can you turn it up just a little bit, please? So, Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nidhitam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitam Cha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kulpatru Bhascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're hearing about a very relishable topic, which is penance and tapasya. Because one way or another in this material world, we're burned. The material energy burns. People sometimes, they'll have a love affair and then it breaks up and then their heart burns and burns and they sing songs about it. They cry into the night and they go to their friend's house to drown their sorrows with alcohol. And so for so many things, this material world is a burning process. Samsara dava nadalidha loka. There was a way in which everyone's being cooked here in this material world. But there's another kind of burning which is very sweet, and this is the tapasya, which means heat. And this is when one comes to one's spiritual intelligence. The devotee understands that there's a higher purpose to life, and then also understands that there's a direction given by the Supreme. And he or she feels that merciful connection to that direction through the scripture, through Bhagavad Gita, through Srimad Bhagavatam, through the teachings of the Goswamis, and can pore over those instructions and then see what are the actual ways in which one should regulate one's senses and life. In the Gita, Krishna calls the regulative principles principles of freedom. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indrayaischaran atmavashera vateya atma prasadam arigachati. It's a way in which one receives the mercy of the Lord by regulating the senses. There are certainly urges that the senses have for raga, dvesha. They have aversion to certain doing certain things and they have attraction for doing other things. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indrayaischaran atmavashera vateyatma. A person who learns to regulate the senses according to the direction of the scripture then is able to attain the full mercy of the Lord. And now in this chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is naming different people who have understood there's a higher principle to life. Even the Karmakandis who are mentioned in the Nectar of Instruction, Karme Bhya Parito Hare Pritaya Vyaktim Yayur Gyaninas Tebhyo Gyani Vimukta Bhakti Parama Premaika Nishtastata. He talks, Goswami names different kinds of people. And he says that above the sense enjoyers who just go for want and sense pleasure, there's the Karmis who are actually good because they follow the scripture in trying to getting their sense gratification. Karmi bhya parito hare pritaya vyaktim yaryur gyaninas. And above the karmis are the gyanis. They become a little more intelligent and understand, why should I run after phantasmagoria? Because I'll never get it. And above the gyanis are the bhaktas. Above the ordinary bhaktas are the pure bhaktas. Above any of the bhaktas is Radharani. And the gopis and so forth. So there's this hierarchy of superior living entities. And we find that as someone evolves in spiritual life, he or she becomes more and more aware of the value of following the instructions of Krishna in the scriptures and those of the sadhus who are following the scriptures and showing by their practical example how to do this. And these kinds of activities, which are authorized by the scripture, may be taken as something that are called austerities. There are many people who perform austerities in this world. In fact, you have to perform austerity to get anything. If you want to get a PhD at Stanford, you got to work hard, right? There's a lot of book reading and spending time. You have to stay back when everyone else is going to watch the soccer match. You have to stay back and study and finish your paper. Otherwise, you don't get it. You know, people spend a time practicing many different disciplines in order to come to a certain level. And this is all different kinds of austerities. And some people also perform austerities that for political reasons and so forth. So everywhere we see people making some kind of sacrifice. But one who is in knowledge of the purpose of sacrifice, and that is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, perfectly performed sacrifice. All others who don't know that that's the reason and do sacrifice for some other reason simply waste their time. Shrama evihi kevalam. It's called shrama. It's just a waste of time. You did it for... You went to a lot of trouble for nothing, buddy. You could. But those who properly understand what is the purpose of austerity, to please the Supreme Personality of God, and then can then apply themselves with great vigor and enthusiasm, knowing very clearly what is it that pleases the Supreme Lord. And this is one of the duties of an advancing devotee, is to find out what are those activities, what are those austerities. I'm as I began the talk, you're going to perform austerities anyway. Even if you don't do anything, you're going to be imposed upon by the material nature, and you'll have to suffer one way or the other. So the Shastras say, better to voluntarily suffer. Rishabh Dev says, Nayam deho deho bhajam nirloke kashtan kanama arhate vidbujamye tapo divyam putraka yena sadvam shud yet yasmad brahma saukyam tuanantam. That try to enjoy this material world like the lower animals, because by logic you can see they're getting sense gratification for free and they're not very advanced. So if they're getting it, you should think it's not very good. It's not. It's low-didge, no-didge kind of sense gratification, kind of happiness. Rather, he says, you should perform tapo divyam, divine austerity. So divine austerity means that, and you know, it's not that hogs don't perform some austerity. They do. It's very austere life. They don't know so much about that. But from our perspective, it's very austere what they do. I won't go into it. So Rishabhadev tells us the path to happiness. The path to happiness. And this is counterintuitive in the material world when everyone wants to buy the biggest car and the biggest house in the nicest place and try to have a comfy cozy. Comfy and cozy, that's what everyone, comfy, cozy. And there are different ways in which the material nature offers us these facilities. Comfy, cozy life. Hiranyakashipu means, Hiranya means gold, Kashipu means soft bed. Grant me this boon that I'll never drop dead. Never drop dead, that's what I said. It was part of a play. So, tapo divyam, this is a great discovery for anyone to come across this idea of tapo divyam, penance, austerity, tapasya, for the sake of the divine. Because now you can take that same kind of suffering, inconvenience more like, that may seem inconvenient. Inconvenient to whom? To the senses. And here it comes, you know the verse is going to come. Shraddha, which Tamadinam katina katita palita durnideshas tesham jata mayina karuna natrapa no pashanti. He's this devotee's praying that for so long I've performed these austerities for the sake of my senses who are bad masters. And now I'm going to inconvenience them. Sorry to break it to you, senses, but you're not going to get your way anymore. My intelligence has awakened, and now I'm going to turn my senses willfully. I'm going to turn my senses towards activities that are pleasing to Krishna, not just pleasing to the senses. And how this can lead to unlimited happiness? Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. This should yet yes mad brahma saukyam tvanantam. Tvanantam, this leads to saukyam tvanantam, anantam happiness, unlimited happiness you can get if you perform tapo, divyam, tapasya. You take some inconvenience for your senses and you engage the senses rather in the service of Krishna. Tapo divyam putraka. Then the senses become purified and they can do what they're meant to do originally, which is to serve Krishna. And then they can experience the highest happiness in direct connection with service to the Lord. So this is a great discovery when the intelligence awakens and one sees that there are ways in which I can move myself in this world. I can accept voluntary inconvenience for the sake of serving Krishna. And through that, one becomes purified, and then one also becomes happy, really, really happy. In fact, it's said that the austerity is the wealth of the brahmanas. It's the wealth of the brahmanas. You can remember that's completely counterintuitive in this world. Everyone thinks, I don't want to be inconvenienced even for a moment. But the brahmins, the Vaishnavas, the devotees, they take every kind of inconvenience as happiness when it's for the sake of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now, what are these kinds of austerities anyway that we're talking about? So Krishna is listing different kinds of people who have a higher vision in life, that they understand that they have to perform some kind of austerity in order to reach a higher level of happiness in this world. So he's mentioning different categories of people. Some like the unadulterated brahmacharis. He says, Shotra dinandrayanye. So Shotra adini, such as the hearing process. So this is one great austerity. Shotra adini. Shotra adini. Indriyani, anye. They engage the senses in hearing. So Prabhupada relates this to the brahmacharis. And then he says that they know the difference between one kind of sound and another. The brahmachari hears only words concerning Krishna consciousness. Hearing is the basic principle for understanding, and therefore the pure brahmachari engages fully in Hari Namanu Kirtanam. He restrains himself from the vibrations of material sounds. So this is an austerity that will get you a lot of mileage in Krishna consciousness. Restrain yourself, your hearing process. This you can do. You can restrain yourself from hearing things that aren't related to Krishna. And this is a great tapasya, because the senses, Prahlad Maharaj says in his prayers, they want to hear everything else, but Krishna Katha. They want to hear Prabhupada translate cinema songs. Cinema songs. And they want to hear that. But if you train the senses to hear only vibrations about Krishna, they'll complain a little bit at first. And it's like taming a wild animal. You have to over and over again come back to this. And I've found that by degrees, you have to wage war on the unruly senses, and you have to learn. I think of them as firewalls. Is there such a thing in software as a firewall? There's a firewall, right? Yeah. This is like in houses. We were just in the Toronto Temple, and the inspectors came and they made them install some fire doors. There are doors that are double cased in certain kinds of metals, and the fire can't burst through them. If a fire breaks out, it'll be contained in a certain area. And containment. This is one strategy for tapasya, the hearing process, which is the most valuable kind of tapasya. And that is, find out areas in your life where the material sound is leaking in, or where it might burst through at a certain time, if it really gets inflamed like a fire and it can burst through, and start building a firewall. And you can start walling off that lusty tendency of the hearing sense to want to hear this or that. And by degrees, you can restrict yourself. For instance, say, no more Facebook. It's a kind of hearing. Or just say, if that's too austere at first, or you have business there, say, I only look at this certain part of it. I only go there once a week, or something like that. You can start by degrees and say, unrestricted, not permissible. Unrestricted access, not permissible. You have to wall it off. And in this way, certain parts of your life, and at the same time, one will find that, I mean, you've already found, I'm speaking to the uneducated, one will find that when one restricts the material sound vibration, one has more time. This seems like an obvious point, but it's lost upon those who are absorbed in material sound vibration. As soon as you cut off the material sound vibration, another part of the world opens up to you. For instance, the people who are addicted to watching television, and you see it all the time. When I walk in my neighborhood, sometimes I look in and you see that flashing light. And even I noticed one time when I walked by one house last night, a man, he wasn't even watching it, but he was packing or doing something else, and the TV's just going. And people get used to that it's just the din is there, a din, a constant din, the sound and of that. And if you cut the cord, just get some shears, turn off the electricity first, but cut the cord. And then suddenly, the second you cut the cord, your mind will say, well, what else is there to do? What else am I going to look at besides that television? Where else will we go now, senses? And then there are trees outside, and there's light, and there's you can hear the rustling of the grass and everything like that, and start thinking, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme. But even beyond that, there are books of knowledge. You can sit down with Rupa Goswami. You can sit down with Srila Prabhupada. Someone may say, I wasn't able to get close to Prabhupada. That's not true. You can sit down and you can actually feel close to him. If you give undivided attention and realize he was speaking for you into the microphone, and now you can sit and hear exactly what he was saying in the wee hours of the night. Wouldn't you have wanted to be there while he was doing that translation of the books? Well, you can. It's right there. And all this becomes available when you say, no mas. On this side, no mas. I'm cutting the cord on this part. I'm walling off this part. Now I bring my attention to something more valuable. My father was reading a book once. I didn't read it, but I asked him, what are you reading? And he said it was a book about how the television ruins one's ability to concentrate, and how it's had a psychological and sociological effect on people all over the world. And so this process of hearing, of restraining the senses, this is one place to put your austerity, this penance. And in the Pantratriki system, from morning till night, from the time that you actually are able to, you come back into your body out of the dream state, and you become aware of the fact that you're in a body, you can then begin vibrating transcendental sound various prayers should come into your mouth. As soon as you're able to vocalize something, Hare Krishna, and then other prayers, Naham Bipro Nacha Narapatir Napi Vaisho Nashudro Naham Barni Nacha Gre Patir Novanasto Yatirvans. And there are verses about Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, you can begin saying from the very beginning. So this Prabhupada speaking about for the brahmacharis. But that doesn't mean you can't do it too. You get great benefit from this austerity, this penance of gradually winnowing out the sounds in your life that are material. Now you say, I have to work, I have to hear these things. That's okay, you can do your duty. Don't hear more or less than you need. Just take what you need to do your duty, but don't let your hearing process, try restraining your hearing process. There's great austerity and there's great benefit in that. And then he talks about the householders and they restrain sex life. So the entire Vedic process is meant actually to overcome this urge for sex, both gross and subtle, because that's what makes the whole material world go. Pumsastriya mitani bhavamitam tayor mito hridaya grantamahu atogriyakshetra sutata viter janasya mohoya mahamameti. Lord Kapiladev, Rishabhadev describes, yeah, he's heavy. He's describing how there's this attraction between male and female in the material world that's just very difficult to overcome. And when the male and female come together, then there's all kinds of entanglement. One has to maintain a lot of things. The list goes on and on, it never ends. And it can become distracting. However, there's great lesson to learn, and there's great regulation in the grihastha ashram. One can make so much advancement from the platform of being grihastha by gradually learning how to live together in a house with wife, husband, children, but then step by step coming to the point of tapo divyam, divine austerity for the family. Then there's actually some satisfaction and happiness, and one feels progress. And then naturally, one will become detached from those things which are not beneficial, and one will have knowledge and understand what is the goal of life and become more and more inspired to move forward. And therefore, one should enter into any of these situations in life with the idea of performing austerity and penance and seeing how there's great wealth in that. So the next verse, any reflection so far? Yes. Mukharavind.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for bringing such a wonderful whole morning, starting from all the prayers. And I was just, you told that cut the cord of the TV, so I was remembering that Mrigari when Narada told him to cut down his bow, and from there he started the spiritual life. So I was just remembering that incident. And you were telling about the grihastha ashram, how you can use the same grihastha ashram for advancement. So I was remembering the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in which he sings in the Saranagati. I think so, that the first song of humility, or in that he mentioned how he's just working for Krishna, but like all things he connects with Krishna, whether maintaining family or maintaining children. That
was, yeah, everything in relation to Krishna. Yes. Shraddha and then Hansapriya. Hansapriya, go ahead, Shraddha.
Yeah, Maharaj, I was reminded of the verse that we read in Brahma Samhita, tapastam tapa etina tavasiddhir bhavishyati, which kind of emphasizes the importance of doing tapas. And the funny thing is that in the purport, Prabhupada just says, the purport of this is clear. You
know? Yeah, and we'll get into that as well. I intend to go to that verse, tapastam tapa etina tavasiddhir bhavishyati. It said, by performing this austerity, tapastam tapa etina tavasiddhir, you'll attain perfection. What is the austerity he's talking about? And that is that the mantra. If you practice the mantra, that's an austerity. Hansapriya.
I really like the point you mentioned, that the devotee, he was getting depressed or discouraged, and Prabhupada mentioned that he should read books 2 hours.
Yes.
He should read books 2 hours. And then you go further in the class, you mentioned that, you know, the books are the books, read the books. 3 times you mentioned. So I was thinking it's very much relevant to me because I've been wondering that I want to start reading the books. And this point really helps me to, you know, get into that, take it more seriously. And I was last weekend in Sacramento visiting my parents, that they have a hotel.
Really?
His hotel.
Do they have Gitas in all the doors?
So it was 106 degrees, so I didn't know. I had my own room and me and Flicker, so we couldn't go out. So I was watching TV, and then while I was watching TV, I was thinking, I don't have TV in my house. So it's quite different, and I was thinking a lot of people watch for relaxing, and I wanted to relax. So I had turned on the TV, and I'm watching TV. And then I was thinking, why people really watch TV? Because they want to know something. They're hungry to, they have an urge to know more or to understand more. And I was thinking, those knowledge or whatever they get out of it, it's not going to be, it makes you more sad, more depressed, discouraged, or it's just not enough. It's just temporary. So I was just, helped me today's point about you mentioning that if you get discouraged, read books for 2 hours. And then you mentioned that, you know, that one can find actually a lot of stuff in the books of Srila Prabhupada. So
yeah,
thank you very much.
Thank you. Nice points. We were up there too, in Sacramento.
I was supposed to come, but the 106 degree kind
of. Oh, okay. So one thing is, there's an old saying, insult to injury. Have you ever heard that? You're injured and then you get insulted on top of it. I always like compare this, the moving around in the material world, like television is insult to injury. It already disturbs your, you know, but it's also like an insult to your intelligence, the whole thing, the way it's all set up. All the different kinds of sense gratification in the material world, so you just got injured and it's going to insult you at the same time, you know, insult to injury. Yes.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji. So human mind, right, is accustomed to seeing like results instantly, you know. So I do this, you know, what's in it for me, right? But the different, you know, things you mentioned, you know, tapasya, you know, penance, austerities, right? It takes a while for the results to manifest, right? How do we keep ourselves, you know, focused, you know, and motivated and not lose hope?
Well, it doesn't necessarily take, if you apply yourself to proper austerities, you may get very quick results also. Just in material terms, people who go for a workout, for instance, they'll go do a vigorous workout, their immediate rewards physically, endorphins are released, and suddenly one feels an elevated mood from that. And similarly, if somebody performs some kind of restraint of the senses, in the beginning, Krishna says that it's like poison, but in the end, it's like nectar. And I'm sure you've had experience of performing some kind of austerity for Krishna, and then at first the mind says, you know, we got to do this, we're going where, I wanted to do that, but you do, instead you do your service, and then suddenly you feel blissful. You're just engaged, and you don't know why, but you just feel happy. And so you can, you know, of course, not that there's not ups and downs, there may be, the mind changes from day to day, and therefore there's this regulation that we have to go through, because what tasted good, you know, for 3 days in a row, and then suddenly he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. The mind's like a little kid who's unrestrained, and you have to bring him along and say, no, little schnicky, we're going to the thing, you know, and that's it. And then you bring him, and then, you know, as schnicky grows up, he learns higher principles of life and so forth. So when you don't have a taste, you have to take it as medicine. That's the higher, conquering the lower self by the higher self. When you're not getting that immediate taste, you have to keep your eye on the goal. And you actually have to analyze the material world and see, and keep reminding your lower self that there's nothing in it for me. because the reason I contemplate the material world and the objects of the senses because I'm still optimistic. I think there's something in it. I'm going to get something out of that. But if you go higher, 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 and you look down and you say, like Maharaj was doing yesterday in his lecture at Google, he was saying, he was remembering the redwood tree that's so old, 2,000 years old, and he asked the kids who were there on a field trip, so if the tree could speak to us, what would he tell us? And one girl started channeling the tree, and she was crying, and she was saying, you know, you're so foolish. All these things you're doing, they're simply causing more misery and pain to yourself and so forth. So if one has a higher vision and understands what's the ultimate goal, one can become inspired even at times when one doesn't want to perform the austerity. Who was next? Thank you for your
question. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for a wonderful class. I was just reflecting upon what you were saying, how what devotees do austerities, how it is so contrasting to what people outside in the material world do. I was just taking a walk on Castro Street and I saw a billboard or like a restaurant sign saying Villa Rouge, the comforts of sophisticated living. I was just thinking that devotees probably think it is the peril of sophisticated living. And this just reminds me of what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ya Nisha Sarva Bhutani Tasyam Jagrati Samya, that it is completely different. And devotees take austerity as pleasurable for service and getting the mercy. So thank you.
Yeah, one aspect of being able to... devotees are focused really on their service. Narayana parak sarve na kutashchana bibiti swarga pavarga narakeshu apitulyana darshana. They see heaven and hell as equal when they measure about, because they don't care what the external circumstances are as long as they're doing their service. As long as they're connected to their service and they keep doing it, then they feel satisfied. So in another sense, this is the tapo divyam, is connecting oneself to the service. It takes one through all these different changes of the material world and anything the material world offers. We accept it or reject it based on what's good for our service. And yes, devotees become accustomed to a different kind of happiness. Just thinking about, I grew up as a brahmachari and in Krishna consciousness. And I know the happiness of living very simply and not having anything. I just remember so vividly that what a beautiful life it is to have nothing else except service and no other responsibilities, just a little mat to lie down on, and then, you know, you have your stuff in the corner. And then you have service all day and association. Coming to sit down at prasadam with all your best friends who are also engaged in like-minded service and everything like that. That's real happiness. And someone else, like Hari Vamsha is pointing out, might look at it and say, oh, that's a very austere life. But for the devotee, the austere life is really being separated from that service and having to do service for Maya and having so many unwanted things hanging around one's neck and thinking, how do I get these off me so I can do more service? Oh, sorry, who is next? Okay.
So Prabhuji, for the point that Prabhuji asked, sometimes we don't even know how unknowingly Krishna consciousness acts. We may not be consciously looking into that. For example, Prabhupada mentions about the cinema songs. It's so very relevant to India because that's what it is. Like at home in the radios and I get into school and that's what you hear. And one becomes so much attached to it because it's relevant to what's happening in your life. And then when I came to Krishna consciousness and devotees said one should not hear cinema songs, that was such a big austerity to me because sometimes they also sing philosophy. And then I was like, I thought, like, it's impossible. That's not at all possible. And then when devotee is not around me, then I just go to that. And then I thought, like, it's totally impossible. Anything could happen, that will not happen. Then after like so many years, one of my friends came and they were asking about, oh, did you know that song? Did you know that hero and how that music is? And I thought, yeah, I don't hear that anymore. I was like so stunned that Krishna consciousness really works even unknowingly. I didn't even feel the pain of giving it up. And I feel so happy to be in Krishna consciousness. And just by hearing this class, my hope increases tremendously that all our anarthas will also get removed one day like that. Thank
you. It's really nice. Really nice realization. Yeah. Yeah, and you see the four regulative principles. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. You know, one's diet is very important for one's consciousness, and for some people that's a struggle in the beginning, but gradually one becomes attached to taking Krishna prasadam, and one, you know, abhors eating anything else that's not first offered to Krishna. It's repugnant. And this illicit sex becomes just a very, you know, one becomes resistant, understanding completely how it you know, it's the ultimate entanglement. And intoxication, which takes away the subtle edge that one has to actually appreciate the fine sound vibration coming from the spiritual world. And gambling, through which one throws away one's own power and starts believing in some chance theory and becomes overstimulated, thinking I'll get something for nothing and so forth, rather than going with just waiting for Krishna's mercy to come naturally and working honestly in the world and so forth. And some people think that the four regulative principles are impossible, but it's an empowered activity, and when one performs those austerities for the sake of pleasing Krishna and becomes empowered to follow them, Prabhupada said that those devotees become worshipable. And he mentioned that when the devotees first went to India and they were all following four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds, and the first group of devotees came to India, people were performing puja for them. And Prabhupada said, because, you know, you're following these four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds. Austerity is very powerful. Somebody else had a point? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much. In the starting you said that tapasya is sweet. That was very enlivening, actually. So I got this question from the discussion on the point that material happiness is pain in the beginning and pleasure in the beginning and then pain in the end. And spiritual happiness is other way. It might be austere a little bit in the beginning, but at the end it's beautiful. So regarding material pleasure, the example that comes to my mind is of eating a gulab jamun. If I just eat one piece of gulab jamun and restrict there, then how is that kind of sense enjoyment, pleasure in the beginning and then pain in the end? That is first question. Second question is, because we are in this body and the urges of the body or the senses are very strong, there is some kind of quota, okay, you can enjoy this much senses or sense objects, that's fine. How do I know where to say no? Or how do I know how much do I need? Where am I going extra? Or where am I?
Well, for the second question, it's according to your service. Everyone should be properly aligned. We're servants eternally. We're das or dasi. And when we align ourselves with service, the spiritual service, this is the real austerity, tapo divyam. Get yourself some service. And when you're connected to that service, then you can judge, what do I need for my service? And then you know what you need and what you don't need. And you just look at it and say, do I need that to fulfill my service? No. Okay, get rid of it. If you need a whole city, if you need a whole planet to perform your service, then you can take that. Anatasya. Anatasyasyam vishayan yatarham upayunjita Nirbhanda Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagya Muchate Prapanchikatya Bhutya Hari Sambandi Vasuna Mumukshavi Prityagyo Vairagyam Vaukatyate. Sorry. Anyway, in this verse, Rupa Goswami talks about how accepting those things which are favorable for serving Krishna and rejecting those things which are not favorable, and then you engage whatever you can engage in Krishna's service. And when you're taking gulab jamun, if you're doing it out of service, we sing this prayer that to Krishna, you know, I have to eat anyway. So let me glorify you, Krishna. I'm taking your remnants. If we honor prasadam and we think, oh, this is prasad, and you take it by the order of the Lord, then it's not sense enjoyment. Although your senses are satisfied and you're actually happy and you need that. It controls the tongue, but there's no reaction afterwards. Like with eating something material for your own sense gratification. It pleases Krishna, and we heard Chaturvidha, Shri Bhagavat Prasada Svadhanna Triptan Haribhakta Sangan Kritvaiva Triptin Bhajataksadeva Govindamari Purusham Dhammahamajami. Spiritual Master says, take prasad. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered his followers, eat up to the neck. You know, give everyone more. And he would serve out himself with his hand. And they said, because his hand was so big, people would get like four times as much as they needed. You know, it's like he's putting these gigantic portions. But these are wonderful things. They'd have mango eating festivals. And Mahaprabhu said, everyone eat mangoes. And so this is not sense gratification. You're following the Lord. And I was ordered once to eat as many gulab jamuns as I could. We had a gulab jamun eating. I was following my authority. And it was an all brahmachari, all sannyasi ashram. And we had cooked Madhava Maharaj, who was here a couple of weeks ago. He was a great cook, actually. He cooked these gulab jamuns. We took him to the Chicago Rath Yatra. We were in St. Louis. We served them out to all the people. There were still thousands left. We brought them all back to St. Louis, put them in the refrigerator. And then the Sunday feasts, our temple president, the head sannyasi, said, how many gulab jamuns are there? Hundreds, maybe thousands, Maharaj said, we have to distribute them all. So we gave them out to the hundreds of people at the Sunday feast, told them to take more, more, more. How many are left? Maharaj asks. Still hundreds, Maharaj. We have to honor all of them. Not one gulab jamun can be wasted. That started by his order, you know, this gulab jamun eating. And he never ate very much, but he started eating gulab jamuns. And then everyone crowded into the room. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was there. He was Gyanasham at the time. And more and more sannyasis, brahmacharis were all crowding in. Only like 20 could fit in the room there, down the hallway. And gulab jamuns, gulab jamuns, gulab jamuns. And I just happened to have a penchant for eating. It was one of the services that I could perform really well. And so I just kept eating more and more and more and more gulab jamuns. And I ate 84 gulab jamuns that day. And there was no reaction. And I was asked to do it. I wasn't doing it out of sense gratitude. And it was joyful. And it was, you know, it was like service. It was my service. So if you you sit down with the Vaishnavas, in fact, even on Ekadashi, you know, if you're fasting and some superior Vaishnav comes and says, take prasad, you don't say, no, I'm fasting, Maharaj, I can't do it. You take. That's an austerity, actually. It's an austerity to not perform your austerity, but it's for a higher cause. It's service, service to the Vaishnav. Actually, that's the principle. And so if you connect to service and you see what is the principle, I'm serving the higher authority, then that's austerity. The austerity may be to eat more. Somebody might, your superior may order you and say, you eat. Hridayananda Maharaj tells this story. Right after he took sannyas, he was thinking, I'm going to be the most austere sannyasi the world's ever seen. And then he going on morning walk with Prabhupada in Los Angeles, and it was Monday morning. So they went out to the Venice Beach, they went walking, came back. And you know, after the Sunday program, the Sunday feast in those days, they were huge, and people would come, and there were these gigantic plates. We were so young and hungry, and you know, devotees would eat so much, so they'd pile these plates really high. And there was one plate that was just left overnight, and it was sitting there, piled high with prasadam on a radiator, the radio wasn't on, but it was just sitting there. And Prabhupada was walking back into his room, and he saw that, and he looks at Hridayananda, he looks at the plate, and he says, "Eat that." So Hridayananda Maharaj grabbed the plate, sat down in the room, and he just ate the whole thing, because Prabhupada said, "Eat that." And someone says, "No, and I'm austere, I'm fasting," whatever. This is not austerity. Even at the house of Srivast Thakur, he was having these kirtans all night long. And then Mahaprabhu would only allow certain people in, the most intimate devotees who understood what was going on in the mood. So one very austere brahmachari who only drank milk came, and he told Srivast, "I want to see this kirtan." And Srivast thinking, "Oh, well, he's pretty austere. He only drinks milk. He can come in. He's special." And Mahaprabhu started the kirtan, then he stopped and he said, "I'm not getting the usual ananda. No ananda in this kirtan. There must be some impure person here." Srivast Thakur's only just this brahmachari, but he only drinks milk. And Mahaprabhu says, "Kick him out of here. That is not the qualification." Just because he thinks he's so austere, just drinking milk. This is not the... But anyway, when he was walking out, he thought, "At least I saw. And now that can't ever be taken away from me." And Mahaprabhu then brought him back and embraced him because he had the right mood. But point was that it's not this austerity. If one's doing it because of the service which has been bestowed upon one and is doing it for that purpose, then that's the best austerity. You know, Prabhupada's traveling all over the world on airplanes. He used to say, people would say, "What's a sannyasi doing in an airplane? What's a sannyasi doing coming to America in the first place?" This was one of the rules in India. You can't cross the ocean. And Prabhupada said, "My spiritual master told me, cross the ocean. That's austerity, I'm going." And what an austerity it was, sitting on the boat going across. And not knowing, I mean, it's an austerity not knowing if who's going to greet you there. But Prabhupada used to say, if you go out and preach and you don't care for what you're going to eat or where you're going to sleep, and he said, "I take the dust from your feet and I put it on my head." He said that in one darshan. Shyamasundar recorded it and sent it out to all the temples. It was all by paper back then, of course, U.S. mail, postage stamp. And the devotees got that, and you know, people just jump in their car and they're like, "Let's go," you know. And for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness, one takes austerity. And then sometimes, you know, Prabhupada, when he first took Kirtanananda back to India, he said, "Put on a suit." It was hot, too, in India, and he's wearing this black suit. But it was an austerity to put on the suit, because Prabhupada wanted to show, "I brought an American back," and he wanted him to look like an American. Was that an austerity? Yeah, it Prabhupada told him to do it. It was his service. So you have to find out what your service is, and then whatever you take for that is divine austerity. So there's more here in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita that is very enlivening about the service. The next verse, number 27 in chapter 4, says, "Others who are interested in achieving self-realization through control of the mind and senses offer the functions of all the senses and of the life breath as oblations into the fire of the controlled mind. Having accepted strict vows, some become enlightened by sacrificing their possessions, and others by performing severe austerities, by practicing the yoga of eightfold mysticism, or by studying the Vedas to advance in transcendental knowledge. Still others who are inclined to the process of breath restraint to remain in trance practice by offering the movement of the outgoing breath into the incoming and the incoming breath into the outgoing, and thus at last remain in trance, stopping all breathing. Others curtailing the eating process offer the outgoing breath into itself as a sacrifice. All these performers who know the meaning of sacrifice become cleansed of sinful reaction, and having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifice, they advance toward the supreme spiritual atmosphere." Don't you want to go to the supreme eternal atmosphere? I love that. The supreme eternal atmosphere, the SEA. And then 31, "Nayam lokos tijagnasya kutonya kudasatama." Krishna asks this question, Oh, best of the Kuru dynasty, without sacrifice, one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then in the next? And here's the purport. Whatever form of material existence one is invariably ignorant of his real situation. In other words, existence in the material world is due to the multiple reactions of our sinful lives. Ignorance is the cause of sinful life, and sinful life is the cause of one's dragging on in material existence. The human form of life is the only loophole by which one may get out of this entanglement. The Vedas, therefore, give us a chance for escape by pointing out the paths of religion, economic comfort, regulated sense gratification, and at last, the means to get out of the miserable condition entirely. The path of religion or the different kinds of sacrifice recommended above automatically solves our economic problems. By performance of yajna, we can have enough food, enough milk, etc., even if there is so-called increase of population. When the body is fully supplied, naturally the next stage is to satisfy the senses. The Vedas prescribe, therefore, sacred marriage for regulated sense gratification. Thereby, one is gradually elevated to the platform of release from material bondage. And the highest perfection of liberated life is to associate with the Supreme Lord. Perfection is achieved by performance of yajna, sacrifice, as described above. Now, if a person is not inclined to perform yajna according to the Vedas, how can he expect a happy life, even in this body, and what to speak of another body on another planet? There are different grades of material comforts in different heavenly planets, and in all cases there is immense happiness for persons engaged in different kinds of yajna. But the highest kind of happiness that a man can achieve is to be promoted to the spiritual planets by practice of Krishna consciousness. A life of Krishna consciousness is therefore the solution to all the problems of material existence. Number 32, all these different types of sacrifice are approved by the Vedas, and all of them are born of different types of work. Knowing them as such, you will become liberated. And now, this tapasya that Shraddha Devi Dasi brought up from the Brahma Samhita, we find text number 24 in the Brahma Samhita, Uvacha paratas tasmai tasya divya saraswati kama krishnaya govinda he gopi janitapi valabhaya priyava nera mantram te dasyati priyam. Then the goddess of learning, Saraswati, the divine consort of the Supreme Lord, said thus to Brahma, who saw nothing but gloom in all directions, O Brahma, this mantra, namely kling krishnaya govinda he gopi janabalabhaya swaha, will assuredly fulfill your heart's desire. And the purport, the mantra consisting of the 18 divine letters prefixed by the Kama Bij is alone super excellent. It has a twofold aspect. One aspect is that it tends to make the pure soul run after all attractive Sri Krishna, the Lord of Gokula and the divine milkmaids. This is the acme of the spiritual tendency of jivas. When the devotee is free from all sorts of mundane desires and willing to serve the Lord, he attains the fruition of his heart's desire, namely, the love of Krishna. But in the case of the devotee who is not of unmixed aptitude, this super excellent mantra fulfills his heart's desire also. The transcendental Kama Bij is inherent in the divine logos located in Goloka. And the Kama Bij, pervertedly reflected in the worldly affairs, satisfies all sorts of desires for this mundane world. Text 25 says, Tapas tvam tapa etena. Tavas siddhi ravishyati. O Brahma, do thou practice spiritual association by means of this mantra, then all your desires will be fulfilled. And its purport is clear. So this tapasya, mentioned in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, of taking the mantra as one's life and soul. Everything comes from that. Tava siddhir bhavishyati. All perfection comes. You take this tapasya. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, of all sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, japa. And Krishna says, I am always situated in acts of sacrifice. If you want to find where I am, that's where you look. Find the yajna and get into the yajna. Enter deeply in the yajna, and that's where you'll find Krishna. That's Krishna's name, yajna. And Bhagavad Gita says that the material universe was set up simultaneously along with sacrifice. And by that sacrifice, one will come to live perfectly happily in this life, and then we'll go back to home, back to God in the next life. So this is the perfection of life, is to perform sacrifice. And the best of all sacrifices in the Kali Yuga is chanting the name of Krishna. So one can use the vocal cords and the muscles in one's mouth and tongue, which is supposedly the strongest of the muscles in the whole body relative to its size, that one can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this is the best sacrifice of all. And sacrifice some of your time, some of the other places your mind had decided it wanted to go, and just do that. And then also congregationally chant, and also spread the Yuga Dharma by teaching it to other people. Yes, Malini.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, many times I heard from devotees that when they think of going back to Godhead, they say that I'm not there yet. So I don't think it might take me millions of lifetimes to go back to Godhead. But at the same time, that may give us a lax, that we think that, oh, I can't do it anyway this lifetime, then I cannot put my 100% in there. So how should we encourage ourselves to take it very seriously for this lifetime? Doesn't matter the result, but at least the effort-wise, Prabhuji.
Well, in the Shastra, we're given these examples of devotees who did make it in one lifetime, and to show what can happen. And you, like Ajamil, who was just accidentally chanted the name of the Lord. Actually, it was Krishna's arrangement, but he did chant Narayan just at the time of death, and look what he attained. So these are meant to give us an optimistic view of our devotional service. Prabhupada says, for the strict observer of the process of devotional service, the success is guaranteed. It's guaranteed. And so we should see that the power of the holy name is there, and we should think that I'll go back to Godhead. We should also be patient, and in Krishna's own time, he'll bring us. Even according to chanting of the holy name, in the sixth canto, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about how various trees give fruit according to a particular schedule. And you just have to wait for it. So one should never be discouraged in the practicing devotional service and think that, let me try some other time, because we're not sure if we let up, and we may not get the same kind of opportunity we have right now. That should motivate us. In fact, someone just wrote me recently and was saying that she realized, because she's studying global warming so much, she said, it's not a good idea to come back, because there'd probably be no land to live on or something like that. But Prabhupada used to say things like, the Kali Yuga is getting worse, don't come back. It'll be worse than it is now. We have a really good opportunity, so take full advantage of it while you have the chance, and don't put it off for another time. He encouraged us that you've already invested so many other lifetimes in sense gratification. And one should be absolutely convinced of this, that I've wasted my time. And penance actually means to have this repentant attitude, that I've wasted time so much. And if one's objective is clear and one is fixed on the objective, you're already a success. If you know, if you have very clearly in mind what the goal is and you're working towards it, your success is guaranteed. But Maya is very tricky, so we should be careful too, because she can whisper, you know, things in our ear, and then, you know, we can compromise and think that I'll do it later or something like that. But Krishna is very kind also. For one who's surrendered and then again tries to go into sense gratification, there's a special austerity that comes that reminds one, oh, I was better off choosing my austerity than having it imposed upon me. One becomes more acutely aware of the various choices one has to voluntarily surrender to Krishna and take the austerity, or be randomly burned, or systematically, I should say, burned by the material nature. But that's Krishna. For the devotee, he specifically prods one through the miseries of the material nature, the austerities that one has to undergo when one strays from the path of devotional service. Hansapriya?
I like the point that Maharaj made yesterday at the Google, the swimming upstream, or you will just go down with the river and just going to get carried away.
Yeah, and it was very technical too. He talked about the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. How to move in the world, you need a little bit of passion, but that mixed in with the goodness. But if you don't continually cultivate, and Srivas Pandit asked the question at the end, how do you stay in that higher state? And he said, by association and by study of scripture, did he say? Chanting? By chanting and also by association, one keeps that. But otherwise, that degrades. Everything will degrade into the mode of ignorance, and then you're completely lost. And Prahlad Maharaj, in his prayers, is aware of this. He's saying, I'm afraid of slipping down into this degraded condition. And also, one doesn't sometimes even know about it as one's gliding down. That's why it's important to have good association. But one should have some fear of being degraded. Ramananda Sakraprabhu is out of the cave. It means he must have a question or a comment. No?
No, I don't have any questions.
Oh, okay. Hare Krishna. Well, we want to thank you for developing this system of keeping us engaged constantly in hearing chanting. It's by incremental improvements all the way from... It all started in on Bascom, right? I remember the day they were getting ready for a Janmashtami, and Nilesh and Ramanand Sakar, they were drilling a hole through the screen in the window for the wires to come in for the camera, and it was rigged up there. And then just, through studying, what's the next step, it's come up to a very, very high standard. And this is a good example of how one can improve one's spiritual life also. From whatever situation you're in now, if you make it a goal to improve it and make incremental advancement, then you can come to the highest level at any time. So think about this, the wealth of in penance, austerity. Part of it is really regretting that I've wasted so much time in the material world. There's a fire in that regret that can inspire one to not waste any time. And also embrace austerity as much as possible, those austerities which are in relationship with increasing your service in Krishna consciousness. And try to firewall off the places where Maya can most likely come in, or she's already come in, by increments block her out and bring in the spiritual sound vibration and service. And this leads to a happy life. And you'll find all throughout the Bhagavatam that the great devotees all did this. They found out how to make incremental improvements, and they employed this divine austerity, and they came to the highest position. So that's why we're here. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam. Become purified by divine austerity. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Penance and austerity ki jai. Go premanande adibo. Vancha kalpadurubhascha kripasanabhyevacha. Patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, hey, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.